Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. That's what we're talking about. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's the metamorpho, the metamorphosis. So we use the Greek word metamorpho in our title, and it's translated in English metamorphosis or transformation, to change in form. On the back of your legacy brochure, you ever read this stuff? Like sometimes we put special message in there, free cash and stuff like that. You should read it. So on the back, here's a little statement of faith, a little mission statement. You could call it our creed. This is who we are. This is what we do. People ask, what's your church all about? Here it is, right here, simple. We exist to build a church that connects our world to Jesus and leads them to become more like him. We are spiritually alive, personally transformed, and purpose-driven so we can make a difference. Now, this second line, spiritually alive, personally transformed. So the transformation in our life, sometimes people think, well, you know, that just means we're trying harder. We're working harder to be good people. Actually, we're talking about a supernatural change, a spiritual change. So if you're not spiritually alive, you cannot be personally transformed. And that's the struggle that many people who come to church have. You can't just sit in church and think that you're going to change. I mean, it's obvious. We have people been in church for years. Marriage is not better. Finances, not better. Health, not better. Attitude, not better. Worship, still not better. You know, they just sit in church and they think, okay, well, I'm here. Bless me, Lord, bless me. That's not how it goes. But when you are spiritually alive, when you're connected to the Lord, when you're excited about walking with the Lord, then that transformation can take place. And that's what we're talking about in this series on metamorpho or metamorphosis. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Do not be conformed to the world." So some people feel like, well, the Bible says stuff like that because God's trying to ruin our fun. God's just trying to put us in some kind of a box where we're not enjoying life. And Christians are just boring and they're not having any fun. Well, when I read "Do not be conformed to the world," I realize he's trying to keep us from the tragedies, the disasters, the divorces, the addictions, the accidents, the disease, all the stuff that's painful in our world. And today, I'm going to add another word from the scripture, the oppression that's in this world. Jesus says, through the apostle, don't be conformed to the world, not because he's trying to ruin your fun. By the way, wasn't that fun sitting for 18 innings and watching the Mariners score no runs? I mean, I don't drink, but I almost went to the store and bought me a case of beer. If I'd have known it was going 18 innings, I for sure would have had to get drunk. I went to 4 different football games and back, and the game was still on. It's okay. That was kind of like a doubleheader, right? Like we had 4 playoff games. Okay, never mind. You ever heard of this group called the Mariners? No, still nothing. Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah, don't be conformed to the world, or you'll be depressed on the day after you lose an 18-inning game. God's not trying to ruin our fun. It's not about taking away the joys of life. It's about keeping us from the pain and the tragedy of life. And then, as we keep reading in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, do you know any Christians in your life that you would say they're living in the perfect will of God? You really see joy and peace and prosperity and relationships and all the promises of God working, and you would say, that's the will of God. That's my future. That's what I want for my life. For many Christians, they've never seen that. They've seen religious people. They've seen traditional people. They've never seen Christian people living in the will of God. So maybe you could be the first in your family or in your sphere of influence where people see you and they say, man, I want that. How do I get that? Do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you prove, then you experience the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I'm always reminding people, he did not say you need to learn something. And here's where many of us stumble. We think if we just learn something, well, I went to church and I learned the sermon. I learned another scripture. I heard what the pastor said. I've been learning so much at church, which is good. Learning is good. But learning is not renewal. You can learn about exercise and still be getting farther and farther away from your fitness goals. Am I right? Yeah, of course I'm right. You can learn about parenting, but not make the changes that will bring change into your family relationships. You can learn about marriage, and the whole time, your marriage be on the way to divorce. See, learning is good, and we believe that learning is good. However, learning is not change. Learning is not transformation. Learning is not renewal. And that's why people sit in church for years and feel like they've learned so much and yet are so far away from the Lord. So don't deceive yourself. Don't think, well, I'm in church. Get off my back, Pastor. Couldn't give me a hard time. I'm here. I'm learning. Okay. But is there renewal? Is there transformation? Now, I get stirred up about this stuff because this is what saved my life. I was sitting in a rehab center 45 years ago, and I read that verse for the first time, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I took the Bible to Julius. He was the director of the rehab center, and he had become my spiritual father. Now remember, Julius was a black man from Washington, D.C. in his 60s. I'm a white kid from Tacoma in my 20s. And Julius became my dad. That was a weird thing. And I said to Julius, have you read this verse? Romans 12, 2. He said, let's look at it. And we began studying that verse. We studied that verse together for 5 years. He passed away, went on to be with the Lord. But for 5 years when we were together, we studied Romans 12, 2. Every day we'd talk about it. Every day we would read it. Every day we'd quote it. Every day we would look at a new aspect of it. It saved my life. It broke the addictions. And not just the drug addiction. It broke the poverty addiction. It broke the sickness addiction. It broke that spirit of the world off my life. So not only was I saved, but I began to live in the will of God. And that's how we started Christian Faith. And I've been working on it ever since. I'm still I'm still seeking, I'm still looking for how to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I don't want to just learn something, right? You can learn something when you read the news. You can learn something when you take a class. You can learn something easy, but change, renewal, transformation, that's the big deal. That's the big deal. And if you can get going with that process, you're on your way to God's perfect will. Now, when I talk about it, I get excited, I get fired up, and I might say some things that, you know, will provoke you a little bit. Of course, that's my goal, right? I'm not just here to go through a nice sermon, right? If you want to go to church where they just give the liturgy, give the homily, give the benediction. How many know what a liturgy is? Homily? Benediction. Okay, one brother knows it all. Actually, I thought there would be a few more, but okay, that's not my goal. If you just want to go through a cute, nice religious service, there's probably one closer to your house. Could have saved some gas. I believe God brings us together for renewal, for transformation, for experience of the Holy Spirit, for the power of God. We call this a house of miracles, right? Miracles that bring change to our lives, that make our marriage better, that change our health, that change our vision and our future financially and the future of our families. So if I can provoke you to good works, Hebrews chapter 10, provoke you to good works, then I've accomplished my mission. So, yeah, I'm going to try to provoke you a little bit, right? Stir you a little bit. And again, you didn't come to church just to sit here and say, amen, brother. Woo! What did he say? I don't know, but I'm sure it was good. No, we don't want that. Nobody wants that. How can we experience transformation so that we can live in God's perfect will? And if we're in God's perfect will, what would be different about our lives? Would your fitness be different? Your health be different? Your career be different? Your relationships be different? Would your finance be different? I think so. I think we all want God's perfect will, but are we moving toward that? Are we on our way, or are we just sitting back watching the world go back, waiting on the world to change? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amazing scripture, powerful statement. I want to bring this to your attention today. Jesus heals people who are oppressed by the devil. He healed them all. Nobody was exempted. Nobody was left out. Everybody who wanted to be healed, there was a few people who rejected Jesus, right? Like in his hometown, they wouldn't listen. Some people were like, no, we don't even believe that. But if you believed it, if you wanted it, he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. Let's talk about oppression. Maybe we don't realize how much we live in a world of oppression. In our world today, let's just look around briefly. Take a casual gander. Wars. East Africa, Northern Africa. Genocide. Racial wars. Hatred. Murder. Killing. Ukraine, Russia. And not only for those who live there, right? I have pastor friends there. I call my pastor friends and they say, Pastor Casey, our church was blown up. We have members' homes are blown up. Our Ukrainian church that meets here on Sunday evenings, they've had church buildings blown up, gone, wiped out. That's oppressive. That brings a sense of anxiety and wonder what's going to happen next. How do you live? If you're there, how do you live? But even if you're here and your family is still there, your friends are still there, this is oppression that many people are dealing with. But not just that. If you listen to the condition of our world when it comes to sickness and disease, fear, anxiety, virus, the variant, the new one this week, the monkeypox, it's going to get on you. But I'm not a monkey. You better be careful. And that negative perspective, the fear. Did you get your vaccine? Yeah, but have you been boosted? But did you boost the boost? Did you boost the boosted boost? Because the variant. And you're like, wow, I've lost track. I don't even know if I'm boosted or not. That oppression and the anxiety from talk about sicknesses and diseases, and it's getting worse. Because we're coming into flu season. Wait, we've been in flu years, not just flu seasons. Are you kidding me? But that's the oppression. Why is our world like that? And then racial tensions. Do you believe in this group? Do you support that group? Are you with me or not? Are you red or blue? Well, I'm actually kind of pale with a little red on top. What are you talking about, red or blue? Well, you're in a blue state. What does that mean? My state's pretty green. But the world looks for ways to create tension, disagreement, division, and people hating and dividing against one another. So that's our world. Well, not just wars and sicknesses. And what about economies? Oh, it's going bad. Stock market's going down. Interest rates are going up. Can't even afford to have a house anymore. Cost of gas through the roof. We're going to be paying $10 a gallon. Woo! Good thing I got rid of my gas car. I got me a battery-powered car. Yeah, well, we ran out of electricity. Dang it. Good thing I still got a horse. I knew those skills my dad taught me would come in handy one day. That's our world. Pick your topic. There's somebody that wants to fight about it, argue about it, and make it negative, make it a problem. Our politicians, it's all about the problems and the threats and the fears. This is oppression. Now, some oppression comes from Satan. The Bible calls him the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, right? So the Bible speaks of layers of spiritual authority, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and wicked spirits in heavenly places, okay? So that's real. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth and doing crazy things, demonic things, evil things, but not just the devil. I want to challenge some of your thinking, because some of you say people are basically good. I want you to think about that. We will abandon our own children. We will kill our own children. Just about people in general. We will leave our spouse after 20 years of marriage. We will lie to our spouse. Did you go shopping? No. You didn't buy anything? Because I see something on the card. I don't know. That's weird. You lie like a rug. We will eat things we know are not healthy. And then ask God, why did we get sick? We will sit in church and say amen when you know I'm not even going to go on that scripture or on that path, but I'm going to act like I agree. people are not basically good. Now, here's the thing I will say. We are valuable. Our intrinsic value. We are precious to God. We are worth the precious blood of Jesus. God paid the highest price to save your soul, and your eternal being is the most valuable thing on planet Earth. However, we are not basically good. You can be a Christian for 50 years, divorce your wife, and end up an alcoholic and die in the gutter. Pastor, it's a little dark. I know! Human nature, sin nature, the flesh, the Bible calls it, is not good. So that adds to the oppression. So you not only have Satan bringing oppression, but humanity. Look at some of the things we do to each other. Look at some of the things that happen just from people interactions. This is tragic. This is terrible. How do we live above it? That's what Jesus came to do. He lifts you above that oppression. He heals all who are oppressed by the devil and all who live under that oppression of the sin nature or of the flesh. Right? So now here's the thing. How do we get in on that healing? How do we get in on that renewal? How do I get in to that place where that oppression is not weighing me down? The word oppression literally means to weigh on, to dominate. Now, you see people under oppression as the years go by, their whole countenance, even sometimes their back, their posture, everything about them just looks down. And many of us struggle with depression. We struggle with a negative, a pessimistic outlook. And we think, well, you know, I need some Adderall. If I could just get my prescription for Adderall. So this is a big problem right now because we got an Adderall shortage. Well, how in the world? Pharmacies love selling this stuff. How could there be a shortage? Okay, well, Adderall is an amphetamine. An amphetamine brings you energy for a moment, makes you feel energized for a moment. And Adderall makes you feel like you're sharper, you're on top of things. However, then there's the crash. So then you need more Adderall to get back up. And then there's the crash. Back when I was a kid, we called it speed. Crisscross. You can buy a bag of it for $10. The problem is after a week or two, you're addicted. And now you're taking more and more, trying to stay up in a world that keeps pushing you down. And what the world offers you to fix your problem is really a trick to give you more problems. And so that's our world. Adderall, a high percentage of adult people are taking Adderall, and we're prescribing it to our children. What do you suppose it's going to be like after a few months of that addiction? It's going to be tragic. We don't know all the side effects that are coming. So it just adds to the oppression. That's what the enemy's trying to do. And that's what the spirit of this world is all about. Jesus came to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there. And we can talk about a lot of things that bring the oppression, but I'm just going to focus on three. Worries, anxieties, and fears. In our world, it's normal to worry. In fact, if you say, I'm not worried, people say, you don't care. Back a couple years ago, we just kept doing church services. We were just praising God. We were just worshiping. We were just doing what we do because we did not believe the report of the world. And I had people say to me, how could you hate people like that? What, because I'm not worried? Because I'm not listening to the negative? Because I don't believe in that negative report? We used to sing a song, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. So you have to decide, do you live in worry and anxiety and fear? Or do you trust God? You walk with faith. Do you have a renewed and transformed life so you can experience God's perfect will? But I know, I can hear some of you thinking right now, right? I got you. I'm with you. Pastor, you telling me never worry? Yes. Yes. Why go there? What are you going to do to fix it? How are you going to make it better? Well, somebody's got to worry. Why? Who told you that? No, that's the tool of the enemy to oppress. Worry, anxieties, and fears. Hey, you know you're scared when you're the only one in your environment and you keep your mask on. Bro, there's no one else in your car. You don't have to be scared. Just in case. Just in case. Maybe my car has a virus. People live in fear because they choose to. Live in their anxieties. Okay, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Trying to provoke you a little bit. You choose to worry. You choose to be anxious. And you choose to be afraid. Or you choose to trust God. You choose to believe the promises of God. You choose to believe that Jesus heals all that are oppressed by the devil. Amen? So that's the choice that is before us. Godly thinking, the renewed mind, godly thinking keeps us up when the world is pushing us down. The world is heavy. I get it. I feel it. I'm with you. The negative news, the problems, all the trauma, it's real. However, godly thinking keeps us up when the world is pushing you down. An old singer, you never heard of him, Michael W. Smith, used to sing a song, I am up. I am up. That's the perspective. When Jesus heals all that were oppressed of the devil, you get to stay up. You don't need an alcohol or a drug or anything to get up. You're up because the Spirit of the Lord is energizing your life. Let's read in John 16 and verse 33. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. I'm telling you this. I'm teaching you. I'm talking to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Okay, church, think of it. Jesus is here. He's talking to us, and he says, guys, in the world, you tribulate. Tribulation, oppression, anxiety, worry, fear, addictions, drug use, all the problems. In me, you have peace. Line up over here. If you want tribulation, line up over here. If you want peace, what line will you get in? That's as simple as it is. What line do you get in? I'm going to take the peace. I'm going to take the, I'm going to take the confidence. I'm going to take the hope. I'm going to take the faith. In the world, they're tribulating. They are freaking out. But I'm of good cheer because I'm walking with Jesus and he overcame the world. We can be different. We can live different. We can have a different vibe, right? You go into the office this week. Oh, we got to lay people off. Oh, my God. And now we're crying and we're at the bar for lunch. What are we going to do? We're going to thank God we got out of that place and believe God for a better job. We are different. We stay at peace. We live with peace. And the Bible calls it peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. This isn't natural. This isn't something we just dreamed up because we went to a counselor. This is supernatural, spiritual transformation by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to move us in to God's perfect will. Okay, now you have to say to yourself, next time you're nervous, upset, traumatized, I need something to take the edge off, can't take it anymore. Okay, this is a choice I'm making. I'm choosing to be worried. I'm choosing to be anxious. I'm choosing to be afraid. I'm going to change my choice. I'm going to choose Jesus. I'm going to choose peace. In the world, they tribulate. But that's not me. I stay of good cheer because in Christ, I have peace that passes understanding. All right, come on, give the Lord a hand clap if you believe the Bible. It's our choice. We decide not to worry. We decide not to be anxious, nor to be scared. Matthew 6, verse 31. Look at what he said. Matthew 6 and 31. Do not worry. Now, by saying do not worry, he's telling you that's possible. It's a choice. You can do this. He wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do. Jesus never said fly around the earth because he knows you can't fly. I mean, without an airplane, right? So he doesn't tell you to do something you can't do. So Jesus said, do not worry. Well, I can't help it. Okay, those are the words of somebody with an addiction. I can't help it. So when I was a young Christian, I said to Julius, I can't live this Christian life. I can't live straight. Always forward, never straight. It was funny back then. I can't stay sober, like never have a beer the rest of my life. No way that's going to happen. That's impossible. I can't do that. And Julia said, right now you can't, but just stay with me. Just stay with me. We're going to walk this together. And we kept studying the word. We kept renewing our mind. We kept transformation. And now 45 years later, never had a beer. 45 years, never had a glass of wine. 45 years, never had tequila, never had vodka. Now, before that, smoked everything, drank everything, took everything. Didn't even know what it was. Here, I'll give it a try. Seriously, if I could smoke it, eat it, snort it, drink it, I'm in. Once Jesus healed me from the oppression, didn't need it. Don't need it. It's not a problem. It's possible. You think it's not possible to not worry because it's so normal to you. It's such an addiction. It's just the way you are. Well, I can't help it. Yeah, you can. Jesus said, do not worry. What do we do when we worry? Some of us eat when we worry. Why do you think they call it comfort food? Because you're trying to find some comfort. Give me some of them mashed potatoes. I'm going back for 3 biscuits. Yeah, love it. I get it. I understand. We eat for comfort because we're worried. What else do we do? Well, some of us drink. Some of us use drugs. Some of us get angry. When we're stressed at work, we're worried about the income. We're worried about sales. We're worried about how we're doing. We're worried about what the boss said. We get angry. Now we're taking it out on the kids. We're kicking the dog. The dog's like, hey, don't blame me. I'm not the one. That's our work. That's the oppression that we live under. And Jesus said, don't go there. Don't go there. He heals all who are oppressed of the devil. Okay, back to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all things, the world seeks or worries. For your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own. Climate control. Climate change. The whole planet is going under. Really? You're going to take on the planet now? Why don't you bring it down to something you can handle, like your thinking? Just work on your thinking. God's got the planet. Hey, church, is it hard for you to believe that God knew how long we would be on this planet before he returned? Could you accept the fact that the Lord actually knows? And by the way, is piling up batteries any worse than burning gas when it comes to the impact on the planet? It's part of the oppression, the anxiety, the worry. Don't go there. Don't worry. God knows. Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added unto you. Some of us think we're being better global citizens when we worry. You're not helping. You're just part of the problem. And you come under the control of the God of this world. You're not bringing people to Christ. You're certainly not financing the gospel and missions to our world that could really make a difference. You just become part of the problem. So let's rise above it. Let's lift up our eyes and see what God could do when we truly trust him. Okay, got a couple more scriptures. Are y'all right? Can I give you two more scriptures? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. The war is not with natural things. Don't think that the natural things are the battleground. That's not the problem. It's on the inside. It's the spiritual things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, let's think about that word, strongholds. Hold. When you get a stronghold on something, then it can't break away, right? You got a stronghold on it, it can't break away. So the enemy, the world, is trying to get a stronghold on your mind, because if he can control your mind, he can control your life. So from a little child, he's going to teach you. Now, are you a boy or are you a girl? Nobody knows, but we will find out together. So after a while, it just becomes normal thinking, stronghold. Years ago, it wasn't normal for people to live together without being married. It was unusual. But sitcoms, television, Hollywood, it's just normal. It's what we do. You don't live together before you get married? No way. I mean, seriously, you got to be kidding. So now you're abnormal if you think marriage is sacred and living together and sex is sacred. So the world changes the narrative until it gets a strong hold on your mind. And if you listen long enough, it will get a strong hold. So now look what the Bible says. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So look at three words: arguments, knowledge, and thoughts. That's the battle. That's where the stronghold happens. You can get a stronghold about your addiction, and you really believe you can't change it. You can't overcome it. You can't live without it. You got to have it. You can get a stronghold about anything in life, and it seems like it's impossible to get free. But through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, we pull down strongholds. We come against those arguments. We come against that knowledge that's against the knowledge of God. We break those thoughts that grip our life, and we get healed from the oppression. We get free from the oppression. Yeah, give me an amen right there. It's true. This is what the Bible teaches. Christian people who don't capture their thoughts are still following the thoughts of the world. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I read to you from Isaiah. God said, my thoughts are higher and my ways are higher. So that's the battle. If you will get your thoughts on the Word of God, on the ways of God, on the promises of God, you think what God says, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, this is what I think. This is where I focus. This is what I believe. Then God starts setting you free from the oppression. If you can call yourself a Christian, but if you follow the thoughts of the world, you will live like the world, even though you're on your way to heaven. So many Christians live in oppression because they're losing the battle against the strongholds. Let's pull down the strongholds. Let's break every chain. Let's break every negative thought so we can live free from the oppression of the enemy. Okay, give the Lord a hand clap. Last scripture. Here's my last scripture, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1 and verse 7. Be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the word which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper. God's trying to bless you. He's trying to prosper you. God is never trying to take something good from you. He's never trying to keep you from some kind of joy or fulfillment. He's trying to prosper your life. But you got to be strong. Well, Pastor, I don't feel very strong because I just don't feel. Yeah, I don't care how you feel. I know it's harsh. Doesn't matter. What do you say to your kids when they don't feel like going to school? You say, get your butt to school. Well, maybe you say that. I don't feel like cleaning my room. You go in there and you clean your room. Or you're going to get a timeout for the next 6 months. 6 month timeout. Don't come out of the corner for 6 months. Right? I mean, you don't care how your kids feel. You want them to do the right thing. Follow your directions. Learn their lessons. Do their homework. Right? Because you know, regardless of how they feel, if they do the right thing, they'll win in life. If they don't do it because they don't feel like it, they're going to fail. And then they're going to live in your basement till they're 50. Dad, why do you want me to read? Because I want you to move out. But I'm only 12. I know, by 15, you need to be gone, bro. Right, but that's the truth, isn't it? We say to our children, it's not about how you feel. You do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, it produces right results. God says, be strong. Don't talk about how you feel. Talk about what God says. Now, the next verse, verse 8. This book of the law, the word of God, must not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That's how you renew your mind. You keep your mind on the word. You meditate on the word. You meditate on what God said, not what the world said. The world said the virus is going to get you, and you need a boost, and it's getting worse, and we're in the flu season. That's the world. God said, I bore your sickness, I carried your disease, with my stripes you are healed. Which one do you think of? Which one do you believe more? Which one do you believe? Which one is true for you? I choose to believe the word. I choose to meditate on the word. The world said, you need some prescription drugs, you need some tranquilizers, you need something to take the edge off, you need something to help you with your depression. God said, my joy is your strength. My joy is your strength. God said, I'll give you peace that passes understanding. What are you thinking on? Which is more true to you? Which is more real to you? That's deciding your future. Is your future just a struggle and one addiction to the next addiction? Or is your future prospering in God, blessed by God, living in the perfect will of God? Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.